In the name of Jesus, I share with this ICS class the life of Joseph. We are going to study a life of forgiveness and a life of abundance. I think the story of Joseph, we heard it many times, right? Because once when we were as a child, I believe we heard it many times already, because this is a typical story your parents will read for you when you were unable to read even at that young age. So if we look at the theme of this ICS, living in the Word of God, and this about six classes, I think, is the major book, the major courses we want to cover. A life of Joseph, talking about forgiveness. So because we want to live in the Word of God, right? So this topic related to how we will deal with people. We live in this society, we live in the family, in the church. So every week, we will have interpersonal relationship with our brothers and sisters. So sometimes maybe you have some conflict with your fellow brothers. And how are you going to deal with once this conflict come to you? Are you going to forgive them? And so this is the best example is that Joseph. How Joseph, he forgave his brothers. Those brothers actually make him suffer a lot, but still, by the word of God, by the love of God, he make it really forgive. That's a good example. And we also will study living reverence of God, respect and honor God, right? Respect, and this is the other passage we'll cover. The book of James will teach us how to receive wisdom through trials. Because actually, if we have some comfort or arguments or quarrel with our brother, sister, even our own families, sometimes this is a trial. We have to transcend this so-called this unsmoothness. But actually, it may be another cornerstone to make us even become more mature. So the book of James teaches us how to receive this wisdom. And just like this morning prayer section, Pastor Chen, he used James chapter 1. The wisdom we have to ask for, right, for this wisdom, and without doubting, we are not double-minded, but we have a full faith in God. We ask, and God will grant us this wisdom. And also, the book of Colossians, talking about how to defend heresies and live up the Christ. If in our life we really can live up Christ as our Savior, we really respect Lord Jesus, and we will follow His instruction. Jesus, He is our best teacher. So no matter what, He always gives us the instruction how to do it, how to make it, and really become a son of God. Also, the parable of Jesus. This parable is to reveal the mystery of the kingdom of God. Eventually, we want to go into this kingdom of God. This is our goal, our aim, right? So we are just a sojourner in this world, 70 years or 80 years only. But the future, the eternal life, is forever, and we have to make sure we can enter it. So this is the parable of Jesus wanted to show us how to understand this mystery and also how to get in. And regarding to living in this word of God.
Every day we do our decision. How are we going to manage our time? Are you spending your time in playing games? Or you just, you know, hanging out with your friends, doing nothing? Or you may do something very meaningful. It's all depend on you. Because your parents will not follow you all the way and tell you what you should do. No, you make your own decision. So the life of in the desert, the life in the wilderness is very important teaching for us too. So this is a major courses we will cover on in this ISTS. Now we back to the life of Joseph. Joseph, he is a man, a blessed man. How many years of his life, whole life? Anyone? Joseph. How many years in his whole life? How many when he died? At which age? Joseph died at 70? At 80? His entire life. How long? 110 years. So in the end of the Genesis, it tells us Joseph, he lived 110 years. So in his whole life, God never appeared to him. He is not like his forefathers, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. His three previous generations, God appeared to them many times. God appeared to Abraham more than 10 times, maybe 13 times. God also appeared to Isaac personally, appeared to him, say, you stay here, don't move to Egypt, right? And God also appeared to Jacob. Tell Jacob, I will go with you to your uncle's house. So I will bring you back safely, and I will give you the land, and I will bless you all a lot of the offsprings, your children, right? So I will make you a big nation. God all appeared to his forefathers, but God never, in the Bible, in the Genesis, never appeared to Joseph. But on the contrary, Joseph, he believed God is with him all the time, and he received a lot of blessings, even more than his forefathers. So this is kind of comparison to us. Today, sometimes we also admire, wow, how wonderful if God appeared to me and show me which way to go. I will follow, no problem, right? If God tell me in the prayer, oh, you should choose this or that, then I will follow. A lot of time we ask this kind of question. But most of the case, God keeps silent to our prayer. God never appeared to us and talked to us. But do you still believe God is with you all the time? And God is guiding your way? From beginning to the end, Joseph is a good example for us to learn. Yes, God is with us. So God actually accompanied him to Egypt, to everywhere he went. So wherever he went, the place was blessed. So you can see from Genesis chapter 37 until to the last chapter, everywhere Joseph went, that place become a blessed location. The family, the host family, received praise from God. Right? Whoever he served, the man was blessed. So just like at home, his father got a very faithful helper. In the Potiphar's house, Egyptians received tons of blessings. And then in jail, in the jailer, he can just eat and enjoy his life. He doesn't have to worry about anything in his work because of Joseph. And then in the kingdom of Egypt, the Pharaoh, he can entrust all his nation to Joseph. Right? How easy? So this is a man, Joseph, a blessed man. Whatever he did, God make it to prosper. Very wonderful. So this man, Joseph, was favored in all circumstances. At home, in Egypt, in the house of God, even in jail. So this is just the overall concept for the life of Joseph. If we continue to read even deeper, we can see how wonderful this person. And he really make a good example for us to follow. So in Genesis 49, let's turn to this very last verse. This is Jacob. Jacob blessed his 12 sons. And from verse 22 to 26, 22 to 26. This is the word of Jacob to Joseph. Can someone read for me? Vincent. Amen. So you can see the father blessed Joseph almost everything from the place above to the place beneath. All the world, if we can receive this kind of blessings, how wonderful it will be, right? But this is Joseph, how Joseph received. So even in the house of God, in the future, this Almighty God say, by the Almighty who will bless you, with blessings of heaven above, blessings the deep that lies beneath, breast of the beast, breast of the womb. So almost cover, you know, the spiritual blessing and physical blessing. Oh, this is a blessed man, Joseph. Then his blessing actually is not coming from nowhere free. His blessing starts from his affliction first. So that's why, because of the affliction, and then he can forgive. So he becomes this so blessed at the end. So that's why Genesis chapter 49. At the end, about very late stage of his life, his father blessed him so much, more than his father's. So, when we studied his life of forgiveness, we have to look at his affliction first, and to see how he overcome it, and then how his example can enlighten us. Because our case, basically, we're not that severe. No place we can compare our life with Joseph. No. In this society, this is so extreme to us. So, We cannot copy his lifestyle or his situation, but we can learn from his essence. How come he can make it? Can we also make it? Yes, because of Holy Spirit. Nowadays, we are in this so precious period. We have the wonderful counselor will help us to overcome it. We can do it. But sometimes, some brothers say, no, I cannot do it. It's too difficult to me. You may hear in the future. But if we have faith, we can make it. So let's look at the Joseph affliction first. In Amos chapter 6, verse 4. Amos. Turn to Amos. Chapter 6. Verse 4 to 6. Chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Thank you. So, this is the prophet Amos. He rebuked the Israelites. At that time, when they are in prosperous, they have a very wonderful life. So, how you can see how from verse 4, these Israelites who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock, and crafts from the midst of the store. They enjoy the life a lot. They forgot the affliction of Joseph. So that's why in verse 6 say, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. So what is the affliction of Joseph? What does it mean? What does it mean? Affliction of Joseph. So that means Joseph, he suffered a lot. Because of his suffering, then the Israelites, they have a better future. They have life. But they don't care. This Israelites, the later generation, they don't care. But it's very important, actually. And also according to God's will. So his life, actually, is a part of God's salvation plan. God wants to make Joseph as very important, the important key to the entire Israelites. So after, he suffered first, then God blessed Joseph, become prosperous. So in Exodus 40:41, let's turn to Exodus. Exodus 41. Verse 52. Oh, this is, I think I made a mistake. Genesis. Genesis 41:52. Daniel, can you read? Okay, so he named his second son Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. After he became a prime minister for the Egypt, for Egyptian, right? Every time when he called his son's name, the second one, he just remembered, God made me prosper. Well, this is his position, all he can enjoy in life in the land of Egypt after his affliction. He suffered a lot in that land, but later God made it become a joyful land. So, from affliction and then to prosper. Now, those brothers who caused him to suffer a lot then came to him. Now, he faced this situation. Whether he wanted to pay back, you know, talk to them harshly or treat them just like an enemy, or he can choose to accept them as brothers. This is his own decision. In Genesis 45, verse 8, 4 to 8, it explains how Joseph, he understands God's will. So because his understanding about God's will, he really can overcome it. He can see God's plan. Wow, so wonderful. So he forgives everything. Really, completely accept his brothers again. So, turn to 45, verse 4 to 8 first. Can Sarah, can you read? Yeah, Genesis. I should change it. Thank you. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but God. This is how he really can forgive. He really understands this is God. God sent him a hate, a brother, the whole family. So he understands, then he accepts. He really can so release. Oh, now he understands the whole thing. So the forgiveness comes from when you understand God's will. So no matter what, sometimes we may fall into a trials or temptation or even conflict with others. If we really can understand God's will, God may use this situation to train us, then we understand we can forgive everything. Oh, this is Joseph's example. And it has been written in the Bible for every generation to repeat it again and again and to learn from him. Now, look at Joseph's affliction. It began from the favorite of his father. He has no choice. Actually, he cannot say, "Oh, Father, you please don't love me so much. Can you share some love to other brothers?" No, right? Joseph, he received his father's love. He have no choice, right? His father loved him so much. There's reason behind. So if we look chapter 37, Genesis. Why? His father loved him more than all his brothers. What is the reason? What are the reasons?
Anthony. Why his father loved him more than his father, his brothers? Okay, from the mother, because of the mother. Oh, okay, the second. Any other? Huh? Son of old age, yes. Son of old age. Anything else? Anything else? What do you think? He brought brother's bad report to his father. Huh? Honest. Okay. How about sister? Sister. What do you think? Why the father loved him more than all the other sons? Any other reason? Huh? He is one of the youngest. Oh yeah? Could be. But he has a younger brother, right? Benjamin, no? Okay. Because he's also young, but when you can consider his age, he's younger, but he seems more mature, right? He has better character. Can you name some of Joseph's good characteristics that make him outstanding from his old brothers? When you read the chapter 37, this morning you read it, right? You read it, you know the story. Why the father loved him more than his brothers? Yes, Bible tells us because Joseph's mom is the wife whom Jacob loved more. And then he's honest. And because he's young. Okay? What else? Sister. Joanna. Ruth. You can see his characteristic. Anything you consider, he is so good that the father really cannot avoid to love him more. Huh? Obedience, yes, obedience. It's very important. So, because you are young, you are all the children of your parents. I'm a father. Right? I have two kids. The children make me so happy because of they listen to me. Really? If I say, hey, go. Kids, you go to get something for me. If they go, the father feels so good. Why? Because you have something to serve. You know? And the obedience reflect their mind. They really cry to you. They listen to you. They can follow your direction. If you told them to do certain things, which is good, sometimes they even don't want to do. But because of obedience, if they obey, it makes the father so delight. And his mind is so joyful. So we always have to consider as a son or as a daughter, listen to your parents. It's very important. How to bring your father, because we just passed the Father's Day, right? Honor your parents is not just buy them some gift or throw them a beautiful card and say, oh, happy Father's Day or happy Mother's Day. That is nothing, actually. The most important is listen, obedient. So this is how Joseph, he really react as a child of his father. So
His father loved him so much, make him give him a tunic of many colors. It's a colorful garment. It's special. And this special garment coat is actually, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 18, can you turn to 2 Samuel 13, verse 18? Who wore this tunic of many colors? Father, listen. Okay. So, who wear it? Verse 18 now. She had on a robe of many colors. Tama, right? And actually, this kind of the dress is a princess or prince wear this kind of colors. Colorful garment. Because in ancient time, it's so difficult to dye clothes in different color, especially like a purple, a blue. Oh? Because it's not easy to get the dye in the ancient time. So this becomes so precious. So the father must make a lot of effort to get this special coat. Or the robe to Joseph. But his brothers hate him even more every time when they saw his coat. Not speak peacefully to him. So it make this coat actually make Joseph's life is uncomfortable because his brothers live with him. Right? And most of the time, he had to work with his brothers together too. So every time if you have to work with someone who really hates you, what is your feeling? We have a brother. He used to work in the airport TSA as an agent of TSA. He told me every day he had to wake up at about 3:30, prepare himself, and then take the bus to the airport by 4:30, and then continue to work until 2:00, 2 p.m. Every day, he was so tortured, so unhappy. When he can see, I am going to go to the airport to work with those guys. Oh, he feels so, just cannot endure anymore. Especially because he had to look at the screen in the airport. TSA, they have to screen everybody, right? So every day he look at the picture and feels so, I seen every day. So he was so unhappy. Just in his working place. But if you consider Joseph, he is at home, and his brothers all surround him. And like in verse 2, right? He sometimes have to attend the flock with his brothers. This what kind of life he have? Okay, so now this is the. From the beginning, his affliction. And what do you think about his father? Is anything his father can make it better? Or make this situation more comfortable or to avoid certain situation? From the father's side, what do you think? Most of you, I think, we have brother or sister, right? Yeah? You are not the the only child. Means are you the only child at home? Or you are the exception? Right? Here, all have brothers and sisters. So,
Felicia, forget, sorry.
If you have brothers and sisters at home, have you ever fear your parents love your brother or sister more than you? And do you consider your parents show partiality or 偏心 to your brothers, not to you? 偏心 not to you, but to others, other side. Have you ever have this kind of feeling? Anyone? Yes. Melissa said yes. How about Sarah?
No, I joke around about it, but...
No? Good. Toby, what do you think? No? You have a brother, right? Yeah. So you feel your parents love you also, right? Evenly. So this is wonderful. But sometimes, especially when if you have a brother, sister, maybe because we have also nowadays the family is a kind of small size. You have maybe only one or two siblings. But for example, if in the ancient time, in the earlier generation, they do have 7 children at home, or 10, or even 12 children at home. Of course, some are different. Just like the fingers, they are different size, right? A different name. So some brother or sister may be more clever or more intelligent than you, or they maybe behave much better than you. Of course, the parents maybe put more focus or more attention to those kids. But in this situation, we may feel uncomfortable. But from the perspective of parents, actually, not every parent, but most of parents, actually, they love their kids evenly. Sometimes we don't understand it yet. So because the parents sometimes depend on how they express their love. Okay? So this is to Joseph. He just received his father's love, enjoyed. Okay? Nothing wrong to him. Okay? We may say, oh, Jacob can do even better. But this is our interpretation. Jacob, actually, he also, of course, we can criticize him, but in the Bible, it doesn't say anything. We just keep silent. We put our focus on Joseph. Okay. The question is, who are the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah? Who are they? Can you find the names? This, because in verse 2, right? Verse 2. The lad was with the sons of the Bilhah and with the sons of the Zilpah. You have to find out who are they. Find by yourself. Okay? What is the consequence of hatred? His brothers hate him, not speak peacefully to him. And what is the consequence about their hatred? If you hate someone, if you ever hate someone, what is the consequence? You may react from this feeling. What is that? Kevin, what is the consequence of hatred? What do you think? Huh? Between people, yeah. Can you say
again? Can I hear?
You keep distance from the person. Okay. So yes, hatred is a
verse, huh? Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus 3:3. Kevin, can you read? Okay, thank you. So, this is we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and then disobedient, and this actually is the last. So, if someone hates something for someone, you will fall into the lust. The lust will produce even more behaviors, back in this, and really hate and harm a person. So this is why hatred will eventually become a terrorist. Terrorist. It's come from hatred first. So, and then you kill someone. So that's why in 1 John chapter 2, let's turn to this verse, chapter 3. This is from human being. And we have to avoid. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Luth, can you read? Thank you. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Murderer. Eventually, will murder someone. So this is how Joseph's brother did, actually. And there's a lot of verses you can read by yourself. And then Joseph's affliction deepened through the two dreams that God let him dream. So if you turn back to Genesis 37, after Joseph received this tunic of many colors, then in verse 5, it describes he dreamed two dreams. And innocently, he just told it to his brother and to his father. And they all interpret the dream for him. Okay? So now these two dreams is a turning point to his brothers. Before, let's just consider, you receive more love than mine. It's okay. Right? But now these two dreams make them totally consider, you are not just receive more love, but you are going to rule over us. You will make us to worship you. This is a big change to them. So, these two things are very important. So, we have to understand the dreams in the Bible. Dreams. A lot of time, we may also dream something, and then we want to find out, is this a special meaning behind this dream?
Is God going to tell me something through this dream? Sometimes we wonder. So you heard the saying of Martin Luther King, right? I have a dream. I have a dream. And then the kids, when he heard from the recording, say, I have a dream. And then he immediately say, oh, call Joseph. Do you know this joke? I have a dream. I have a dream. And the kids, because he heard the story. And they immediately say, he have a dream. Then call Joseph in to interpret for him. Yes, sometimes we also, I have a dream. Dream maybe mean nothing, but sometimes dream has meaning. So God speaks to prophet in a dream. So this was what God said in Numbers chapter 12. Let's turn to Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 6. Joseph, can you read? Amen. God said, I will speak to the prophet in a dream. So sometimes God show a person, make a person dream, a special dream, and God spoke to him in a dream. So this prophet can deliver the God's message. Okay? So this is what God proclaimed to Moses, to Aaron and Miriam and Moses. Okay? Also, God revealed his will to men through dreams. Just like in Judges 7, Daniel chapter 2, chapter 4, God made the Judges 7 is about the story of Gideon, right? Gideon. And Gideon, he heard the enemy, one of the soldiers of the enemies, the dream God special told him that Israel were coming to destroy them. God revealed his will to these Gentiles and make him spoke out to his company. And then Gideon heard it. God revealed through dream. Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 4, you know, this is the story of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, right? So this is God reveal his word to the person. Also, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, through the Holy Spirit, you all men should dream dreams. This is at the end time, when Holy Spirit came to people, the Holy Spirit will make someone to dream. So this is why people may testify about their dreams. And most of the time, this kind of dreams always carry some meaning. So God wants to deliver certain things. For example, if some beloved pass away, God may make some brother or sister dream a special scenery they saw, or they can see, or that this beloved brother or sister was called by the Lord and very joyful, happily with a bright places, just like in heaven. So it make the relatives so comforted. Oh, yes, God received this beloved. So this is God also make person dreams through Holy Spirit. But sometimes you dream by yourself. You also have sometimes daydream, right? You may have daydreams. You dream a lot of the unrealistic thing. Yourself might cause to be dreamed. This is in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8. Let's turn to this verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 8. This is called false prophet. Jeremiah 29, verse 8. 29, verse 8.
Nathan. Nathan, right? Can you read? Ta, Huang.
Jeremiah 29, verse 8. Thank you. So this verse talking about some prophet, they dream themselves. Because they already this perception and they dream and said, oh, this is what God told them. Actually, this is a deceive. They try to deceive someone. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3 say, a dream comes through the many business. Sometimes if we are busy in a lot of things, we may also dream. But the dream is meaningless. It just make us even more worried about life only. So there are so many kind of dreams. We have to understand. So the dreams, you have to discern what kind of dream. So discern carefully about dreams. To Joseph, actually, he just make a statement about dream, right? We will continue tomorrow. I think time's up. Okay, so from page 7, we will continue tomorrow. Let's pray science.